I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our time together. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom and understanding, Father, as we open your word. Again, I just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Again, in verse 16, we'll begin reading here in a little bit. I just want to one of the things I want to talk about is being born again, like the young people had talked about. We're to give some thoughts on being born again, and I've been thinking lately that, you know, time just passes by a lot of times, and we've been meeting together for quite a while, and it just kind of, life, the way things go, we just kind of go through things, and young people are born and they grow up, and it's just they a lot of times don't even know a lot of the things that have happened. And I've been kind of thinking lately that I'd like to maybe eventually sometime have some brothers share of the things, of the testimonies, and just to share with the young people to help them to know, you know, the things that have gone on before them. A lot of times we forget about those things. And just this very book that we're reading, this Bible, that it was written down. Whenever we read the New Testament, we hear, or in the Old Testament, it was written down. Things happened. And it was what was alive at that moment. And a lot of times we go through things, or we see things in the Bible, the men in the Bible, the things that they went through, they spent their whole lives, and then God appears in their life for just a short time, and they're brought to a place, or brought to a challenge, or required to do something. And some of them rise up and meet that occasion by faith, and some don't. And you just look at all these things, and we read about them, and these men spent their whole lives. Most of the people in the Bible, the stories in the Bible, they lived their whole lives, and there was only a few short moments of their lives that are written. And, you know, we just kind of forget that they had to live their lives the rest of all of that time. And it wasn't just about that one moment that they lived, but they lived the rest of their lives. And, you know, we kind of like to live in an exciting time, or in things where we're really doing something. But history has shown us that mankind has lived. And there was a few times that they had encounters with the Lord and had things happen to them that they had to go through, or they chose to go through. But that wasn't the defining thing. They were alive. It was their life. And like I said, as we look in the Bible, these things happened, but then they were over, and then man went back to living again. And so I just want to, but it is an important part. We think of the life of Jesus. He, the whenever he came into the world, the whole world had looked for him. The Jewish world, the faithful brethren had been watching for hundreds and thousands of years for him to come on the scene. And one day he showed up. And during that time, those that had looked and waited and watched, you know, some were faithful, some, it was just ho-hum. But whenever he came, you know, we just see how few people actually recognized who he was when he was here. Out of all the thousands that were talking about it, about the Jewish people at the time, of who he was, how many people missed him when he was here? They didn't like what they saw. We just, whenever Jesus was on this earth, I don't think we appreciate sometimes the things that he did, the healing. You know, can you imagine just these people, some of them had been blind all their life, and they met Jesus and their eyes were opened. They could see. Can you imagine being blind and then being able to see because you met a man? Can you imagine being lame or sick, having leprosy, all the things, all the diseases that were healed by Jesus? Just spending, the one man was 38 years, a cripple, couldn't walk, and had basically laid by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for the stirring of the waters, and nothing. And then one day, a man came along and healed him. And he was able to get up and walk again. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's God in the flesh. That's the Messiah. That's the one we were waiting and watching for. And a lot of times, we just take those things for granted. They're just stories. They're just a story in the book that we read. And we forget that it really happened. And a lot of times, now that all these years have gone by, sometimes we forget that Jesus is still alive. Here we just sing about Him being risen. He has risen. And He is still the same power, still the same ability to heal people today as He ever did. But we've travel down the road of hearing the stories and life, and a lot of times we just forget those things. They just become like it's just a story instead of something that's really real. I want to read here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And the reason I'm reading this is because it is a significant portion of Scripture to my life. You know, I grew up going to church, trying, you know, I just remember whenever I was 8 to 9 years old, driving a tractor, just singing about I'll Fly Away. Just I loved the old gospel songs, and I the top of my lungs, riding around in a field all day, just singing over and over again those songs. It was just a blessing to me to be able to just sing those songs about Jesus. And I was just spent, like I said, hours and hours and hours just doing that. And must have looked a little peculiar to somebody driving by here and hearing somebody singing above the tractor, just being loud as the tractor, just going around and around. And as I got a little older, you know, I just believed it. I just believed in Jesus. I believed who He was. I believed the stories. But as I got a little older, there began to be a conflict in my life that You know, as wonderful as this story is, how does it really apply to me? I grew up, we went to church. I went to church if there was a revival anywhere within 20 or 30 miles, we were there every night. Some nights just for weeks at a time. There was one time they had a revival and it lasted 6 weeks. Just every night, going to a revival meeting. And as I began to understand a little more and the conflict in my own heart about what was going on, I began to be concerned about, was I truly a Christian? And so, as the preachers would preach, they would talk about being born again. And they would relate it as an experience where you would meet God. Usually, after being about half scared to death in a message, then you would really become aware of, I hope I go to heaven. And so then they would offer have the altar calls and invite people to come up to be saved. And that's what I heard. That's all I knew. And as I remember just sitting back in the pew and the preacher talking about being saved, or why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? And just, just scared to death about whether you were saved or not, or where I was with God. And the invitation would be given, and I remember one night that sat through the invitation just like I had several times and didn't do anything because I was scared to death. And after church, they were already locking the door on the outside, and my sister wanted to go back up and be saved. And so they opened the door and everybody came back in, and we all went and gathered around the altar. And I thought, well, wow, this would be my perfect chance. So I said, I want to get saved too. And so I told the preacher, and he talked about being born again. And he said, if you believe, you'll be saved. And I said, okay, well. So he said, do you believe? And I said, yes, I believe. He said, well, are you saved? I don't know. And it just a simple reasoning that if you would believe, you were saved. But I couldn't, there was still something that was, there was a disconnect between just believing and me having this experience that everyone was talking about. And finally, he said, do you, John, the Bible says that whoever believes will be saved. I said, do you believe it? And I said, well, yeah. Well, are you saved? And I said, well, I guess, I believe it. And so everybody started clapping and shouting, and because I'd been born again then. But I still had my doubts because nothing had really changed. I'd always believed. And so for years, every time they would preach about being saved, and you must know that you're born again, I was scared again, and I was right back up to the front. And they were all kinds of things, just because I knew there was something that was keeping me from God. I knew there was something that was keeping me from the Lord. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just this lack of faith, that I was just supposed to pretend hard enough that I was going to be saved. Lived that way for several years until I was 18 years old. And I remember it sitting at church, and a preacher preached about that, about being lukewarm. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And I had spent the last 8 or 9, 10 years talking to people about Jesus, going to church, testifying about Jesus, doing all those things. hoping that I would be saved, but there was still just something terribly wrong. I didn't know what it was. It was just supposed to be some magical experience. But whenever that Sunday morning, whenever the preacher said that hot or cold, and I knew that all my life, that even though I had believed, there was still something wrong. And I decided that I was not going to be a hypocrite anymore. I had tried real hard to be good, but always just borderline, go back and forth. Just one time be real hot, one time be real cold. Just trying so hard to do what was right. Anyway, I made a decision that morning that I wasn't going to be a hypocrite because I had tried everything I knew to do. And so I walked out of the door and quit going to church. I just quit everything. And I began just living for myself. Just went out into the world and began just doing whatever I wanted to do. And began buying land and buying property and cattle, just piling things up. I lived that way. When I was 25 years old, I had almost 30 houses, apartments that I put together, and just had 100 head of cattle. When I was 25, I just was going to be wealthy because that's all there was in this world. And so I had gotten married, or pretty soon, or right around that time, I got married. Married a model, just because that was the world. I wanted everything the world had. I had a brand new truck, had everything I thought that I would need in this life. I've told the story about how I went home one Sunday afternoon. They had all gone to church and went home, and Dad looked at me and he said, "I ought to be ashamed of myself because I wouldn't take my wife to church." And I realized that he was right. So I started looking again. I started back to church, just going to church, because I wanted my family to have at least what I had when I was growing up. And I started reading the Bible, and I started hearing the messages, and I was doing the same old thing. I wanted to be saved. I'd come back to the altar again and again and again, the same old way. I mean, I really started trying to just reform, just do all kinds of different things. But I wanted to believe this. But it was the same old thing. And I just determined that I'm going to read this book. And I started reading the New Testament. And I just determined I was going to read that. And here I was. Had the whole world, and going back to church, had everything, and I began reading this book, and I began right away with the teachings of Jesus, and I was amazed at how different what Jesus was saying was compared to what fit modern theology, or what fit in religion. You know, when I read this book, I wasn't feeling like, oh, I got to be born again, I got to be saved, I got to be saved, I got to have this experience. It's not what it was saying. Jesus was telling me very practical things of how to live. He was just telling us the very simple things about his kingdom and how to be a part of it. And I would read these things, and here I was, had the whole world, And I would read things where Jesus said that, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, that puts a real perspective to someone. It wasn't just about how I'm going to be saved. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will he give in exchange for his soul? And I began to read these things, and so I started buying books. I started talking to evangelists and preachers and teachers, and oh, they would tell me it doesn't really mean all that. All it means is that you just need to get saved and live for Jesus. And I tried to believe that, and I just wrestled with those things. I read through again this New Testament. I came to this word, these verses here in chapter 16, or chapter 19, verse 16, that says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? I knew what this man was feeling. I understood this. What was I still lacking? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You know, it's not about all the things we've done that Jesus is looking for. And when he presented this thing to this young man, it wasn't a list that he could just check off to see whether he completed it or not. What Jesus brought out to this man was the very one thing in his life that mattered most to this young man. It was the one thing. Whatever it is with each different individual, it is the one little point in your life that you just don't want to give up. And that's what Jesus brought out to this young man. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say unto you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus brought this man to the one point, the most important point in this man's life. That point between life and death. That point between being born again or just being a religious man. The rich young ruler saw that head on. He faced that head on. And he walked away sorrowfully because he knew that he couldn't pay the price, that he wouldn't pay the price. You see, when we talk about being born again, It's not just some flippant thing that just happens to you. It's not just something that's the only thing we're concerned about is whether you're saved or not. Being born again is you laying down your life and becoming a part of the kingdom of God. You see, this rich young ruler was offered the kingdom of God. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went through the things and then he got to the one thing that was required of him. And he chose not to. I just remember whenever I was struggling with these things, I was driving around looking at the apartments and trying to figure out, what is this all about? What is all this all about? And I had read all these verses about a rich being, how hard it was for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And these verses about this young rich man that Jesus told him, sell what you have and follow me. And I was driving around and I just struggled. And finally one night I just said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. You're asking for my very life. You're asking for my very life. Never knowing what it was. I finally just said, God, I give up. It's yours. You can have what. I don't know how to do it. All I know is that if this is what you want, that's all I want. And something happened in me. My will changed. I didn't become a super great person, but my will changed from being my will to God's will. And I was born again. Things that I wanted, I just began to not even care about hardly anymore, the old things. And I just wanted to be a part of God's kingdom. Like I said, it was the battle, all these things that I was waiting for God just to save me. And He was waiting for me to surrender my will to Him. And that's what it is to be born again. Is to it was just such a blessing. All I wanted to do is serve Jesus. All I wanted to do is to live for Him. I've done a million things wrong since that time. But my heart is to be a part of His kingdom and not this world's. And that's my testimony of being born again. That it wasn't about just me being saved. It was about me becoming a part of His kingdom. And that point that it took to get me there. And the grace of God. I mean, just to look back and think about it is just how the improbability of something like that happening to where God could get me to that place where I could surrender myself to Him. We are born again when our wills, by faith, are transformed into His will. And that's the heart of this whole thing. So I don't want us just to think that it's a light thing. You know, all I ever heard about growing up was being born again. It's a big thing. It's not just a light thing. But so simple. It's just this one little transaction. Me giving up and allowing God's kingdom. You know, just like we were talking about throughout history, one point in time, sometimes it doesn't seem like that. It's a very important point in time. But then after a few years, you kind of forget about it, and you don't think about it so much, and you kind of long for some new excitement or whatever, but that's already happened. And now we walk on to the next place, the next point. You know, we've been through a lot of things as a group of brethren, and sometimes it just gets a little boring, sometimes whenever there isn't something exciting, but that's just as much a part of life as the rest of it. You know, if we are not faithful during these quiet times and these calm times, we'll never be prepared whenever those decisions come. Be faithful to where you're at. And be ready, be willing to hear whenever He calls. I mean, I don't know what God has in store for you all. I mean, but be ready and be faithful right now, so that whenever you have this opportunity like this rich young ruler had, you'll be able to hear His voice. Surrender and say, "Not my will, Lord, but Thine be done." Well, may the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? That was the beginning of my understanding of listening to Jesus' teachings. You know, that's what we live by. It's by Jesus said, "It's not he that saith, 'I know him,' but he that doeth the will of the Father." And that's, we've had to unravel and unpack and all kinds of things just to get down to the simplicity of just trying to follow Jesus. But that was my beginning. So just wanted to share that with y'all.
What you mentioned about the improbability, that sort of struck a chord with me, of the Lord bringing us and bringing me to a point where I could hear Him.
Right.
I was just thinking about that. Maybe not that exact word, but that was really blessing me. That thought, what the Lord is able to do, and why. Then the question, why He did it with you and with me.
Sure.
Each of us.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you for that message. That's a last thing I like. When you mentioned that, just be faithful when it gives you that choice of peace, or like or the opportunity. I don't know if I'm doing right or whatever, but it's just, at least I could listen and learn and just be ready.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
One thing I thought about is how when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night, he asked what he needed to do to be saved. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And And Nicodemus didn't understand what that means. He asked, how can a man be put back into his mother's womb? But Jesus told him that it's not actual. I mean, it's not what humans think is actual birth or whatever, like from a baby or whatever, but it's spiritual.
I mean, when I think of being born again, I think of leaving behind what you naturally do, seeking selfish things and being out for yourself, but when you're born again, you move above that and give your life to serving God and doing His will.
When I think about rebirth, I think of like you're dying to yourself, leaving you're no longer your old master, your own master. Jesus is whatever God wants is what you should do, and you're no longer a slave to your sins and desires and stuff.
This is kind of interesting because just last night I had me and Brother Ann and Gary had a real good talk. We were talking about the ability to make decisions without having to have reasons. Without, you know, usually when you make a decision, you weigh the reasons and you cast out all the reasons that won't work till you come down to the right decision. But we got to talking how a different thing from that is choice, where you do it simply because you choose to, and you can justify your choice, but when it really comes down to it, the only reason is that you just choose that. And I was thinking about just now, well, being born again is not something, it's not a decision where you've weighed everything or you've casted out all the other options and you're finally deciding that the best thing is, no, it's a choice simply because you choose with your free will.
When I think about being born again, I think about we're no longer living on this earth for the things of this earth, but we're living for God, and we work on this earth and live here, and because that's where we are, but we serve God and just live for Him, and that brought to mind the verse there, serve God, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and just live for Him with all you have.
I thought about how when John was baptizing the people, that he said that he baptizes with water, but one is coming that will baptize you with fire.
To die away if you do. Be born again is to die away if you're old self, and to be born of a new person, older self.
What I think of being born again is putting away your old life, the world, and starting out with a new life to follow the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here again this morning, everybody. Seems like most everybody's back. People have been sick, it seems, a lot. It seems most people are better anyway. First of all, I want to say I appreciated what Brother David said yesterday about the simplicity of the gospel and how it's just, we don't have to get into the deep, theology and everything. It's just simple stuff. And so I'm going to read here some thoughts that I had. Matthew 7, starting verse 1. It says, Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So in our actions, in our day-to-day actions, we're with how we relate to other people and the mercy that we give to other people and how we judge them is how we're going to be judged. We're just laying out the pattern that's going to be used against us in the day of judgment. And if we don't have mercy on other people and give them a break once in a while, we're not going to get a break in the judgment day. And then Philippians 2 verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So that way we're working out our own salvation by the way that we're giving a way for ourselves to be saved by giving other people, being merciful to other people and giving them mercy. And we'll go on. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So, also, we need to... We're supposed to be apart from the world, on one hand, be different from the world, not partaking of, you know, everything that's worldly, but at the same time, be out there being a light, because the world needs a light. And that was what I had to say, I guess. So, anybody have any comments or prayer requests? Okay, well, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us again, and for all your mercies. Help us to take that mercy and show it to other people and be a light in this world. And pray for whoever's sick and not feeling well, that you'd give them strength and heal. And we also pray for Gerardo, that you would bless him and his wife, that you would work your will in their lives, if it's your will, and help that to go well. And we ask you bless the brethren in Mexico and Guatemala and wherever they are around the world, that you'd be near them and help them, give them courage and strength in this perverse world. Thanks for everything that you continue to give us and help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well.